SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM channel 159.
What do you say, folks? Little money line right here. Happy to have you on this Tuesday on Sports Grid Radio. I'm Kevin Walsh. We've got an hour here to set it up, knock it down, solo style. If you are with us here on the radio, we appreciate it. If you are with us here over on our YouTube channel, Sports Grid On Demand, feel free to hop in the all-coveted chat box there. Let us know what you're thinking, any questions, comments, any picks that you might have for a basketball-heavy Tuesday. And we are going to talk a lot of basketball here on today's show. We can mix in some football, definitely, probably some college football takes I want to get off my chest while we have the time. But I want to actually start with the college basketball tonight because, and listen, maybe this is a little selfish of me. But tonight's college basketball game between Kentucky and Duke is the most excited I have been for an early season college basketball game since another Kentucky-Duke game. Zion, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett against Kentucky. A game that, again, for those who remember, Duke won by 34 points. They scored 118. The entire trio of freshmen that they had all scored 20-plus. They combined, because I have it here in front of me, for an outrageous 83 points. Kentucky scored 84. That was a Kentucky team that was actually pretty solid, a Kentucky team that went on to win a few tournament games. That was Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson. And, you know, obviously P.J. Washington as well. Those guys are all in the league now. Let me see what the rankings were when those two teams played in that game, because it doesn't have it. That's so interesting. Usually it has the historical rankings. Let me see if I can find this quick here, because I'm always because if you look at this one, let me see here. That would be preseason rankings. Perfect. Yeah, it was 2-4. Kentucky was the higher ranked team. I'm pretty sure after that first game, Duke went right up to number one. Yeah, they did, by a lot too. It was a heck of a statement. So what you have tonight is a 6th ranked Duke team and a 19th ranked Kentucky. But what you have on the Duke side is something that's been missing from college basketball since we had Zion Williamson, which is the clear cut projected first overall pick a year in advance, actually playing at the college level. We haven't been getting this in recent years. Rizashay goes number one to Atlanta, and if it wasn't him, it was going to be Alex Sarr. And look, Reed Shepard was awesome, but Reed Shepard wasn't even supposed to be a one-and-done player, right? Year before that, Victor Wembanyama was the coveted prize of that draft. Now, had Wemby been in college, that would have been super exciting. Obviously, it didn't impact his draft prospects one bit. You had the Paolo Chet year, which was solid. Don't get me wrong, not this level of hype. A little bit more hype around Chet. That's kind of then when the Gonzaga thing comes in. They playing in the WCC, he was only playing like 20-some-odd minutes a game, right? Paolo was good at Duke. He wasn't, you know, world-bending. And I think Chet was kind of the bigger prize anyway, prospect-wise. Cade Cunningham, there was definitely a lot of excitement about him as a prospect. He went to Oklahoma State, right? I enjoyed watching that Cade team. I had, you know, various bets throughout that Cade Cunningham team. But nowhere near the same juice, right? Jalen Green wasn't even within that G League. And Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball. LaMelo not going to college was a big thing. Ant was awesome. We all know what Anthony Edwards is now. But Anthony Edwards, again, the comparison for him to Cooper Flagg doesn't exist. LaMelo was the star of that class. LaMelo went and played overseas. And then you get to Zion. So that's the run. Duke to Duke, Zion to Cooper Flagg. We've not had this. So now you get Cooper Flagg in his first primetime spot. And that is enough reason to show up and get incredibly excited for this game. And of course, I'm excited because my pick to win the national championship, it's the Duke Blue Devils. I have, you know, talked about this and some spots. I don't know if I've talked about it yet here on Moneyline. I know it's chalk. I know, right? To start preseason with the favorite is, in college basketball, maybe a tough move. The thing is, there were numbers out there I knew I could beat. I knew. Just if you look at the way that the KenPom efficiency numbers were out there, you could bet a Houston or Auburn ticket and you will beat that number. I'm telling you, you will. That's not what it's about for me. To me, I know I can beat the Duke number as well. Because if you look last season, there were, I think, three teams that were under 6-1, if not more, heading into the tournament. Purdue, Houston, and of course, UConn. Well, I believe Duke is going to be that level of good. I think they're going to be one of the three best teams in college basketball. Cooper Flagg, we talk about the player. I don't know if people realize that what the big thing for Flagg is actually defensively. He is a defensive monster. Probably the best defensive freshman prospect since Anthony Davis, which is saying a lot. I mean, a lot. Add in, I think, again, a backcourt that I like in Proctor and Foster. Some, you know, veteran transfers like James and Mason Gillis out of Purdue, who a lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. Colin Knipple. I mean, maybe one of the best shooters in college basketball, right? He actually may not even be the best shooter in tonight's game, though. We'll talk about the Kentucky side of it in just a second. But so there's so much I like about this Duke team. So I'm excited to watch the team that I bet to win a national championship compete at this level. But I am also, for those that maybe, I am a Kentucky basketball fan. I have always, me growing up, it was in the Ball is Life era, watching all the prospects, and all the prospects with the best highlight tapes just went to Kentucky, right? So, yes, it was John Calipari that kind of got me into Kentucky basketball. And as things carried on, while Cal left a great legacy, Cal became a bit of a mess at Kentucky. Talked about it throughout last season. His two best players, Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham, did not start for him. And that was not because the team was loaded. It was because he was making mistakes. Reed Sheppard went third and Rob Dillingham went eighth in this past NBA draft class, and he was starting neither guy. The clock was ticking, and it ticked, tick, tick, and he is now at Arkansas, and we'll see how that works. But all of a sudden now, Kentucky gets this new fresh coat of paint, and I had to hear a lot of slander from people talking about the Kentucky job. And again, it's funny because I kind of came into Kentucky with John Calipari, so I easily could have jumped on that train, right? Just ran out, root for Arkansas. I'm a Cal guy. No. People were forgetting that this is the winningest program in the history of college basketball. The Kentucky Wildcats. And Mark Pope came in, and the same way that he's got that fan base to buy in is the same way he got me to buy in, is the same way he got countless high-level transfers to buy in. So for me, as a fan, I can't wait to watch Kentucky compete at this level. And I don't know if Kentucky is national championship good. I know they're better than the preseason expectations from the likes of KenPom. Again, the most trusted source in the business around college basketball, who had them outside the top 40. That's crazy. And that's immediately changed through two games. Immediately changed. The offense is great. They brought in legitimate defensive weapons to add into the portal, like Lamont Butler, one of the best defensive guards in all of college basketball. Kentucky's more veteran-laden team heading into this game. So what do they bring to the Duke Blue Devils tonight? I cannot wait. I cannot wait. We will have action in that game. We'll have action in the NBA Cup as well, because let me tell you, I am also an NBA Cup fan. I was right about it year one, and we'll be right about it again. Let's get into it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's some brutal truth.
You can listen to Sports Grid for strategies, odds, and more and live the good life. Or you can dig out the change from your sofa cushions.
Ooh, sticky.
We told you it was brutal. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Let's go get him, Chuck. All right, we're back in the mix right here on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Moneyline, Sports Grid On Demand. Let's see if anybody's popping off right now in the YouTube chat box right now. It's early. Ooh, we got people in the mix here. Shout out to Brad. Kentucky Duke is fishy. Kentucky could shoot the lights out. Not bad. I'll tell people for this Kentucky team, they attacked shooting in the portal. Kobe Bryant, so I might like Con Knipple, right, is one of the best shooters in college. He may not be the best shooter in the game. I think Kobe Bryant is, I don't know, 8 of 10 from three in the first two games. I mean, it's ridiculous. What he's doing early season. Kentucky shoots a lot, and they're going to get a lot of threes up. I've not placed any action yet in the game because, interestingly enough, I may play under the 160 and a hook. We'll see. But there's going to be a lot of athletes on that floor, and I think that could lead to just a little bit, you know, uptick in defensive intensity. It's a big total. I'm interested in the Jackson Robinson 12.5 prop. The best player probably on this Kentucky roster, the transfer from BYU, came with Pope. People don't, again, and I understand this, but like a lot of people don't know, but Jackson Robinson had legit NBA prospects and opted to play a season at Kentucky, which I think is going to work out for him. I think that is going to work out for him. Got 14 shots up last game against Bucknell. Only played 24 minutes. I think that's one of the really interesting things is Kentucky's a pretty deep team. How do those rotations look on a night like this where, again, you play Wright State, you win by 41, you play by Bucknell, you win by 28. You're a 6.5-point dog, right? Are we getting 30-plus minutes out of Jackson Robinson? Are we going to see guys trimmed in the rotation, right? Does Brandon Garrison not get as much burn off the bench? Does Kier Kiersa come in a little bit earlier into a game like this? So again, excited to watch this all play out. Now, I mentioned the NBA Cup. I said I was right about the NBA Cup, which some of you might think that means that I correctly bet the Lakers to win the NBA Cup. Let's see above the shoulder. No, that's not what I'm right about. I was actually wrong about the NBA Cup. I didn't expect the Lakers to win it. I didn't certainly expect the Pacers to be on the east side of it all. No, I was right that it was great, though. And the NBA Cup was great. It really was. I think people saw that immediately. A lot of people didn't like the NBA Cup because they didn't. And I don't even want to come off like mean and, you know, yelling about this. Like, people just didn't really understand what was going on. People are like, I cannot believe we're going to get more games now. These guys don't play in any game. Hold on. Whoa. Okay. The NBA Cup is just, there's like one extra game, right? That like championship game. Everything else is actually just like scheduled opponents, right? Especially the group part of it. But now those cup games, right, actually have more intensity and cleaner injury reports, which is what you're looking for if you're an NBA fan, right? So that's the cup was great, and it's going to be great here in year number two. That's what I'm talking about being right about. There is, if you don't want to fire away futures in the NBA Cup, I get that, right? I disagree. I think it's fun to bet such a unique market at the pro level. We don't get this anywhere else in America. You get it all the time in soccer. That was kind of the, you know, what led to this idea for the NBA. We don't have this in the NFL. We'll never have this in the NFL. We don't have, you know, you what you could somewhat compare it to is honestly like the college basketball, like those invitationals, Maui, things like that. But even that's not really the same. It's a really unique situation we get from the NBA. And I was going through it. And for those that don't really remember the format, six groups, three in each conference, five teams in each group,
your group winners all advance, and then two wild card teams in each conference. So 16 teams in total will make it out. Again, eight per 16. Is that right? Am I saying that right? No. Eight teams. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Eight teams in total. I guess it would be four per conference if I have that right. I think I have that right. I know each group winner advances, and I know we have a wild card team. And then that might just be it. I'll double check that. I can't believe I've now, hold on a second, I've now confused myself. Yeah, eight teams advance, winners of each group, and then a wild card team with each conference. Perfect. Okay. So as I was kind of going through the setups here, right? What you try and factor in on, at least for me, is the home court advantage. Because you play everyone once, which means it's not, you know, this isn't like how the Champions League would be, right? Where it'd go aggregate, you'd have a home and away. That's not what we have, right? You just play, and they're not neutrals. So you just play everybody once, but where you play is important. I'll give you an example. In West Group C, the Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors, and the Dallas Mavericks are the clear big three of that group. Memphis and New Orleans would be your long shots. It's a hard sell with Zion out for the length of this tournament and Ja Morant now week to week with a hip injury. I don't think I can get there on either team. So then, all right, if we just Denver, Golden State, Dallas. Well, Denver is hosting Golden State and Dallas. Like, that is justification enough to just say, I am betting Denver in this group. And then if you want to spin it higher and bet Denver to win the whole thing, Jokic to win MVP, whatever it might be. But that to me is just one of those things that you can find within, and right, not super complicated, but when you look at these, right, because, you know, everyone's, the work they want to put in is to varying degrees. I get that. I do. And it's the NBA Cup. I understand, right? But when you look at that group, you're like, ooh, you know, I have a little value on Dallas. Dallas is going to Golden State and to Denver. That's why they're plus 310. Is they're going to have to pull off at least one of those upsets. Slight dog tonight. The Clay return game, they could do it. They could do it, but you get an idea why that number looks the way it looks. There are some shots out there, though, that we could take. We'll talk about that. We're going to get JP involved a little bit as well. I know he's got some NBA Cup thoughts, so we'll make it all happen. Shoot him over here on the YouTube chat as well. Sports Grid On Demand. We're in the mix.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back at you. We're making it happen. We're hanging out. And we're talking a little NBA Cup. So I've not... Someone, by the way, Brett was asking, why is Durant not playing? Durant's hurt. You know, JP and I were talking during a little bit of the break because JP was big on Cleveland this year, and he got that 100% correct. Like, they're 12-0, right? The world, they go under like a win total, or right? Like, you have to feel great if you have Cleveland futures. JP was also pretty high on Phoenix, and they're 8-2. They have the second best record in the West. But my counter, I remember when I was talking with JP, was the health is going to catch them this year. At least it should. Because last season, they got outlier good health out of Durant, outlier good health out of Nurkic, and I didn't think they could really survive either guy not being out there. And if you look at it, you know, they'd won seven in a row. Every game they were winning, though, in crunch time, in clutch time, and it's then Durant, the value. Oh my goodness. So what happens? First game they lose is in overtime, right? Which is just all clutch time. It's the first game they lose. And, you know, Beal steps up, scores 28. D-Book, a little inefficient, gave you 23, but 12 dimes. Nurkic has been weird this season, man. 0 point. I don't know what's going on there. But if you're Phoenix, and look, 8-2 is such a nice start. Like, they can get through a win total. But I just, like, Durant getting injured is one of the most unsurprising things that could pop up on the timeline to me. That's just kind of how I feel about it. And let me tell you, that Durant injury is really relevant within the brackets here, because Phoenix Suns, to me, I cannot bet or really even consider, right? They said Durant will be evaluated in 2 weeks. He's going to miss probably 1 or 2 cup games. Could miss the whole thing, right? Could miss the whole thing. In their group, the Thunder and the Lakers in front of them, behind them are the Spurs and the Jazz, through the odds. I am not betting the Suns without Durant in this group. No way. If you want to argue there's good numbers there, I disagree, personally. Like, I don't think Phoenix is so much better with Durant that without, right, they can catch the Lakers or the Thunder. So then, though, when you look at it, you try and figure out, like, okay, wait a minute. Who is going to 100% play this team, right, without KD? Who could take advantage? So this team in Phoenix plays Utah tonight. Okay, well, Utah's not live to me in the group, right? The Jazz are horrendous. Shout out JP. He was on that as well. Friday night to go to Oklahoma City. Okay, that's monster, right? OKC, first of all, is a wagon. They themselves, though, down with Chet Holmgren, right? They could use any boost that they get. Well, they get no Durant at home. That's huge for Oklahoma City. Their next tournament game, though, is the 26th. If the timeline is accurate against the Lakers, Durant could be back. If he's not back for the December 3rd game against San Antonio, a hand might be on the panic button. And that would be then a month of hoop. All of a sudden, you see Kevin Durant miss. So, to me, I think that's one of the big swings for OKC in this. I really do. I'm tempted. I don't know how much I want to play group outright long shots. I'm not sure where I land on this yet. And I know it's today, but I've been going back and forth on it. San Antonio hosts the Lakers on Friday night. And then next Tuesday, a week from tonight, will host Oklahoma City. They just played, they being the Spurs, one of their best games of the season. I know Sacramento was on a back-to-back off of an overtime game. They drilled that team. They beat them by 20. San Antonio then on Wednesday night gets the likely beat up on Washington and maybe get themselves a little bit of confidence. You know, San Antonio at home has had a few more, you know, results you like to see this year. They beat Minnesota in their building. They beat Houston in their building. The Spurs are a tempting option to me. Right now, you can find a plus 750 out there on them to win that group. I'm probably between the Spurs and the Thunder. No Lakers for me. I didn't bet the Lakers last year. LeBron won his in-season tournament. I don't think he's going to try and run up the score in the in-season tournament department. We'll keep bouncing here between the West and East, but I do want to do a little college football with you while we got some time on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, making it happen, you're right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159, Kevin Walsh, college football tonight. We will be getting the rankings, our second iteration from the committee. And it stinks. We shouldn't be doing it this way. It is not conducive to the most accurate rankings. Now, it doesn't have to be, like, that doesn't have to be fact, right? It's just clearly the rankers are not capable of doing a week-to-week list while factoring in the full season. They're completely incapable of it. Most, at least, I should say. I will use the AP poll as our example to kind of show you what I'm talking about and where the, you know, the silliness lies. Let's start with what should be an obvious one, but I know is not. Remember, Notre Dame fan here. Notre Dame in last week's AP poll was 10th. Okay? 10th. They played a horrific Florida State team, and they beat them very badly. No problems, right? Nice job. Miami, in the AP poll, was ranked 4th. Miami proceeded to lose to Georgia Tech, 28-23. The result, then, of the two games saw Notre Dame now sit at 8, and Miami fall all the way down to 12. Now, when you are doing week-to-week rankings, that seems normal. When you're doing week-to-week, what did I just watch? I watched Notre Dame win by a ton. I watched Miami lose to Georgia Tech. We got to make huge decisions here. But when you take this serious and you don't have a memory span of 3 weeks, you'll remember that the Notre Dame loss is 100 times worse than the Miami loss. Miami lost to Georgia Tech, who on the year is 6-4 and would likely have a better record if their starting quarterback did not get injured for a few games in Haynes King, who returned for that game against Miami and put up a win. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois at home. At home. Do you know how indefensible that is? It was indefensible at the time. It's not gotten better. Team has a losing record in MAC play. It's not aged well. Okay? We're not sitting here talking about whether there's a bid going to Northern Illinois for being the highest G5 champion. If you look right now in the current, and I'll just use the AP poll, how many teams have lost this season that are ranked inside the top, let's see here, 115 maybe? We can go even a little bit further. How many of these teams, ranked inside the top 12 have lost at home? Just a home football game, okay? Penn State, which is why they're ranked way too high, okay? Notre Dame to Northern Illinois, which is why they are ranked too high. And then my other huge problem, Ole Miss, ranked too high, doesn't belong in front of Georgia. But before you run and tell me, Kev, they just beat Georgia. I know. They won at home. They weren't big favorites. They weren't favorites. They were a 1.5-point dog. If Ole Miss is to be taken any level of serious, though, they needed to win that game. I didn't take them serious going into the game. I did not think they would win that game. They did. That is a great job. It is the best win Lane Kiffin has since he's taken over this program. How does that make up just for losing at home to Kentucky? The SEC has 100 ranked teams. Kentucky is not one of them. They are 1-6 in SEC play. Who's the win against? 1-6 in SEC play. Who is the win against? It's not like the LSU loss has aged all that gracefully either. I'm sorry, compare Ole Miss and Georgia. Look, if it was close, If it was close, that head-to-head would be a separator, right? The best win on Georgia's plate is at Texas. I forgot Texas. Who's ranked third? At Texas. That is a better win. It is. Than Georgia, than Ole Miss beating Georgia. What is Ole Miss's second best victory on the season? Probably Arkansas? I mean, they did beat them by 32. Right? So probably Arkansas, a 5-4 football team, 500 in conference. Do you think that beating Arkansas by 32 is as good as beating Clemson by 31, who's ranked inside the top 20? It's not. So the wins aren't stacking up. What about the losses? Georgia lost at Bama. Georgia lost at Ole Miss. Ole Miss lost at LSU. And home against Kentucky. If you have a memory that spans more than 3 weeks, you would never rank this team in Ole Miss in front of Georgia. And yet everywhere I look, this is how the rankings are. Because they just beat them last week. Just, come on. Why are we doing this? And the committee, this is the crazy part. The committee last week showed what happens when they get to assess everything and they're not doing week-to-week rankings and they can compile. And what I mean by that is there was a 7-spot gap for one team in the AP poll and the CFP's first rankings. A 7-spot gap. Army. An unbeaten Army. Had the committee been giving us rankings every single week, right? Army wouldn't have not been 25th because they would have been ranked a few weeks prior. And as teams fall out, they just one by one by one, they move higher. And I'm not telling you I actually have a problem. I think Army, I mean, being unbeaten, kind of rolling everyone, there's some comps to be made to Indiana for Army. But Army is ranked so much higher in the AP poll because it's a week-to-week ranking. And so you just go like this. You just 1, 2, 3, right? That's what they do. But the committee, attacking it with fresh eyes, right? Full body of work, had them much lower. But that's now going to be, I imagine, by tonight, we'll have lost that. The committee will no longer be doing full body of work. And the committee will just go off, well, what happened last week? What happened last week? All right, shoot them up. Yep, get them way up there. And now, right, now we're going to end up somehow with Penn State. This is what we got from the AP poll, 4th. I wouldn't rank Penn State inside the top 10. These rankings are terrible and they're not even out yet. We'll be back with you right here on SiriusXM channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're here to mix with you. Some folks over in the chatter throwing out some picks. Pat Burns earlier said he likes the Celtics team total tonight, 119 and a hook. Don't mind that. Early considerations actually lay in the 15.5, which is a ton of points. Ton of points. We've also got Chris Brady jumping in here. Some Hampton Providence under, some Sam Houston Baylor over. So shout out to Chris. Weird comment from Mudwater about the Judge banner. Doesn't make much sense. It's all right. Must be having a tough day. You'll bounce back, buddy. You'll bounce back. Don't worry about that. Let's zigzag back over to the NBA slate here quick. Because we do have a lot of NBA Cup tonight. Every game on this Tuesday is Cup. I believe all the Tuesdays and Fridays now will be Cup games, which is good. I like that. It makes the Wednesday slates tough. Because you're getting back-to-backs in a lot of spots and guys aren't playing. So we're at that point of the NBA calendar. It's par for the course. I understand people smash it, hate it, and I get it. I get it. But I'm used to it. I expect it. Let me see if I can get JP in here, because I want to ask him about something specifically that I'm torn on. JP, you in a mix with me here?
Sure.
All right, so I don't know if you've placed any NBA. Have you placed anything within the cup yet?
No.
Okay, so that's almost good then, because then you can kind of you can attack this from just a starting point of zero, if that makes sense. There's a big game. I think there's two huge games, but I think the biggest game is in Philadelphia. Sixers-Knicks. Joel Embiid is back. If you look right now, East Group A, Knicks are the favorites at +115, but Philly's not far behind at 2-1. There is, though, a much bigger gap in the outright markets. You can get, just using on a FanDuel book here, +950 for the Knicks, and the Sixers are 19-1. There's a big gap there. I think there's like a 35-1 Embiid, Sixers MV, or 35-1 Embiid Cup MVP ticket, which is interesting because we know that the deal on Philly, it's health, it's health, it's health. It feels like Embiid's going to play in every cup game. Maybe Maxey's back if they advance by the time they get to that portion of it. It probably doesn't matter if they lose tonight to the Knicks. So I'm curious what you make of the game tonight, JP, with Philly hosting New York now up to a 3-point dog.
Yeah, my favorite bet in that game, just looking at it, is rather than looking at teams, is taking that game just to go over. I mean, you got Embiid back. He's torched the Knicks. And the Knicks in the fourth quarter are letting up the second most points in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. And I think what we see is just an absolute shootout where the Knicks are willing to go more into their bench, get up and down the floor and try and compete. So if I'm to take a bet in that game rather than the NBA Cup overall, it's going to be that over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. 213 looks super light. I saw somewhere that apparently a lot of the totals have been getting smashed under for the cup. People perhaps expecting kind of uptick in intensity, defensive effort, which is understandable. Probably going to leave me then outside the total markets for a lot of spots tonight. But my thought, JP, is like, do you think the Knicks should be laying 3 to Philly with Embiid in the lineup? That feels like, I know Maxey's not out there, but my thing is, both teams fully healthy in Philly. I think Philly might be a 3-point favorite. Tyrese Maxey's not worth 6 points.
Yeah, but I think included in that is Paul George has not looked great since he's come back from that injury. He just looks unwilling to get to the basket. He's settling for jump shot after jump shot. And then you pair that with the wing defense for the Knicks. And if you're going to attack this Knicks team, it's in the paint. And Paul George is just not getting there.
No, he's not. He's not. You're right about that. I guess, and it's also, like, I'm banking on Embiid. I don't know what I'm getting, right? If you look tonight, Embiid, I think, let's see if it's moved. I know late last night it was for 25 points. So -110 is Joel to get over 24.5. A healthy Embiid is almost like 10 points higher. So, I don't know, man. That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out here. You know, like, Does Embiid return? I still don't really understand why Embiid's not playing. Like, he played all summer, and then they were like, yeah, he's like, I'm not going to really play back-to-backs, and people were upset about that. And before you knew it, they were like, yeah, he's also, like, not healthy at all. It's like, what? Man, what are you talking about? Like, how many minutes is this guy playing tonight? 35? 12? What's that story?
It's completely up in the air, and I think you absolutely nailed it there with the randomness almost of this injury. But I think it's gotten to the point with him where he might have went into that office and said, like, I have some slight discomfort. And they were like, all right, you're out for the first 5 games.
But that backfired on him, right? Like, they're like, ooh, like, it's fine. Yeah. Like, we can – and then, like, PG got injured, and then they just lost every game. I don't know. I'm really tempted by some Philly bets. I'm tempted a little bit by some Pacers bets, JP. I'll be honest with you. They had their best win of the season against the Knicks. I don't know what you thought. Did you take anything away from that?
Yeah, the Knicks are running 6-man rotations in the middle of or at the beginning of November, which is utterly insane. You do that against a team that's going to pace the pace and space, you're going to get mopped.
I am. Now you know I was involved in Indy preseason. It's probably wishful thinking, but 35 points and 14 dimes from Halliburton. I'm just like, I don't know. Is he back? Like 35 and 14 is not normal, but the game before that he had 6 points, right? Like, can we get 23 and 11? Like, that's what we had last year. Can we get that?
I think that might be kind of where we settle around, but I think you'll see him struggle against the more physical matchups where he knows if he's getting down to the paint, he's going to get beat up and bullied. Against the Knicks, it's Cat. There's no resistance down there. He got there, but he still looked unwilling to shoot in the paint. I do not know what is going on there.
Yeah, I don't know. He's weird. He's had himself a really weird season. But they went on a run in this thing last year. So I wonder if they're going to feel comfortable in it a little bit, right? Like, this is our thing. I'm tempted by that. I tell you, I went back and forth on Boston. So I was big on Boston last year in this. And they didn't get it for me, which is, it is what it is. But what's interesting is I feel so much better. I feel great about those prior bets because they had better odds last year than they do this year. But I think they were a better basketball team last year than they are this year. And if you guys remember, they had to run up the score late to even qualify for the next round, and the Pacers got him out of there. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to be in on Boston. A few teams in the West. We'll keep breaking it down with you right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on a Tuesday, closing it out. If you have any late minute picks you want to throw in the Moneyline chat box, Sports Grid on Demand, feel free. Again, some people have already been throwing picks out there. We appreciate it. Love to see you guys in the mix. On Game Time Decisions tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern start time. So in, you know, about 6 hours from now, I'll be on and we'll have, you know, full cards. You know, NBA, college will really heavily be in the mix, which I'm excited about. And we get to follow that Kansas-Michigan State game, which is a really interesting one because Sparty, you know, unranked, but obviously it's still Izzo. I feel like they're getting a lot of respect on the on that early line there, but I wonder how much of it is tied to people wanting to fade Kansas or, you know, Kansas's game against UNC where they win but no cover in their own building against UNC. Like, I don't know. I'm a little tempted by the Jayhawks in the game. I believe the history, though, of the Classic is kind of just grab the dogs. Usually you get out of there with one outright win because it's so early, right? And they're all solid programs. It's this, you know, these four play every year. So you kind of, there's always a chance for an upset, right? Like, it wouldn't stun. So I'll be careful with it, but I'm a little interested actually in Kansas tonight in that game. So we'll see. They're over in Georgia. NBA wise, we have the group. They're, you know, the Nuggets are interesting. As I mentioned, they kind of got the good schedule for their group, and they could take advantage of that. You know, Jokic, I tweeted this out a few days ago, and he kind of just kept going and going. So the market has moved him to the favorite to an MVP. Metrics-wise, okay, early, but metrics-wise, right, advanced statistics-wise, Jokic is flirting with, like, the greatest season in NBA history. That's what you're kind of getting right now. He leads the NBA in rebounding, assists, and is fourth in scoring. He's averaging, if you round up, 30, 14, and 12. He is shooting 56% from the field and from three, while shooting 84% from the line. He's the best player in the world. You already knew that. They've won 5 games in a row. That's great. And one of the reasons I will probably back off Denver in the cup market and a big picture, it is not to doubt Jokic's greatness. He is great. We know this, okay? Again, best player in the world. I don't really think he's going to finish the year averaging 13, 14, and 12, which means a dip will come. A natural, understandable dip will happen. And that could coincide then with this team looking very beatable. Because let's remember, before the win streak, lose by 15 to OKC, lose at home by 5 to LA, have to win in overtime to both the Raptors and the Nets, and then a loss to Minnesota. And then it flipped, right? Then it flipped. They're still not... I'm not running a buy all in on Denver. I'm not. Maybe the Jokic greatness carries through and they win the cup. I'm not ready to get there. I'm not. If I'm going to bet one of those top of the market choices, it is going to be Oklahoma City. They're 5-1 to win the title. They're 12-1 to win the cup. That's a big move because Chet Holmgren is probably going to miss all of the cup. They can survive it. I think they can survive it. We'll see, right? But I'm not paying a premium for it. I'm not paying through the nose. I'm not getting, again, 4-1 on Boston, under 10-1 on the Knicks. OKC is very tempting to me in the market, but we will lock that all in and set it up on Game Time Decisions tonight. I hope to see you there. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us here, though, on Moneyline. You're going to get some football full circle next. Stay locked in on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. I'll see you tonight on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.